As a preface, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 16. It will help us understand what Mr. Watts was writing about in that last hymn. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. Observe the month of Abib and celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. You shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to establish his name. You shall not eat leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat with it unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, so that you may remember all the days of your life, the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. For 7 days no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory, and none of the flesh which you sacrifice on the evening of the first day shall remain overnight until morning. You are not allowed to sacrifice the Passover in any of your towns which the Lord your God has given you, but at the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. You shall sacrifice the Passover in the evening at sunset, at the time that you came out of Egypt. You shall cook and eat it in the place which the Lord your God chooses. In the morning you are to return to your tents. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it. You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. You shall begin to count 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Then you shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with the tribute of a freewill offering of your hand, which you shall give just as the Lord your God blesses you. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, and your male and female servants, and the Levite who is in your town, and the stranger, and the orphan, and the widow who are in your midst, in the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. You shall celebrate the Feast of Booths. So now we've got our third feast. We had Passover, we had the Feast of Weeks, and now we have the Feast of Booths. You shall celebrate the Feast of Booths 7 days after you have gathered in from your threshing floor and your wine vat. And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, and your male and female servants, and the Levite and the stranger and the orphan and the widow who are in your towns. 7 days you shall celebrate a feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce, and in all the work of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. 3 times in a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. So when Mr. Watts wrote hymn number 8, 3 times every year, the Hebrews, wherever you were in Israel, you traveled to Jerusalem. It did not matter sea level wise if you were below Jerusalem or if you were above Jerusalem. Wherever you were, you always went up to Jerusalem, because that's where the house of the Lord was. But you had the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover. You had the Feast of Weeks or Harvest or the Day of First Fruits. You had the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles or the Ingathering. And each of these feasts, the males were required to be there. So they would travel to Zion, wherever they were, to participate in the worship of the Lord. Now, as they were traveling to Jerusalem, Miss Connie and I were talking about this a few weeks back, some of these little notes that you have in the Psalms that give you a little bit more detail as to what may be going on, what the particular psalm is about. But when the children of Israel would travel up to Jerusalem to observe these feasts, they sang. And if you can imagine thousands and thousands of people singing on the roads headed to Jerusalem, I would have loved to have been there just to have heard one song session. They sang the songs of Zion. Mr. Watts, the hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields or walk the golden streets, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. So they sang their songs. And what did they sing? Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. There were 15 songs. And let's look at one. Turn to Psalm 128. The very beginning of that psalm, depending on your translation, it would say either a song of degrees or a song of ascents. And the word for ascent or degree literally means a journey to a higher place. So as they were walking down the road, marching to Zion, as we like to say, they were singing Psalms 120 through Psalms 134. That group of 15 psalms is known as the Songs of Ascent. That's what they sang. Two of these particular songs, and they're all relatively short, they probably had them memorized. They didn't carry their hymn books with them. They probably had them committed to memory, and they would sing these 15 songs all the way to Jerusalem. Two of these particular psalms are about domestic life. So here they are going down the road to a particular feast, and they're singing a song about home. Psalm 128 is one of those domestic psalms, the other one being Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house. Verse 1, Psalm 128. Blessed or blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. The Hebrew word for blessed literally means happy. How happy is the man, or is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. And we know what fearing the Lord involves. We know it's the beginning of wisdom. We know that if we fear the Lord, we're to be reverent before him. We are to understand who he is. And at the same time, we're to understand who we are. And if you want to fear the Lord, then we need to understand who Jehovah is and where we are in relation to him. And we know that we have no place before God. None. All that he is, I am not. And because of who he is, because of his character and his nature, I am to fear him literally. And we rarely understand what it means to be afraid of God. We don't, and at least in my lifetime, we've sort of relegated God to being mostly a God of love, and we don't consider or contemplate very often who God really is. Yes, he's a God of love, but if I know enough about him, do I have those times when I'm really afraid of God? And when you think about who God is, we should be afraid. We should be afraid. And we should bow down with our faces in the dirt out of respect for him. Happy is everyone that fears the Lord and walks in his ways. And when the psalmist uses the word ways here, it means trodden roads or trodden paths. And his ways are, of course, to us, a way of life. It's a course of our life. And we've got to understand that when we get to a place and a decision needs to be made, that these are God's paths. These are his roads that he has ordained for us to follow. And we will be blessed. We will be happy if we follow the path that he has set for us. Verse 2, when thou eatest the labors of thine hands, thou shalt be blessed, and it shall be well with thee. William Binney, this is old school writing here, and it's really quite beautiful. He's talking about the domestic part of this psalm. He says, the domestic institution had its birth in Eden before sin had tainted our nature with its foul breath. In sparing to the world this relic of paradise, the Lord meant not only that it should mitigate the evils which have come in by sin, but that in the hands of God-fearing men and women, it should import into this life something that might recall the memory of the paradise that has been lost, and both stir up yearnings after and minister to our preparation for the paradise that is regained by the Son of God. And that's very convicting, because our homes should have that reminder, that reflection of paradise. Is my home that little slice of paradise? All this crowds in upon the mind in thoughtfully listening to the music of the psalmist. His ode is like a zephyr laden with the fragrance of the garden of God. It is the picture of a happy home. God has blessed the land with peace. The husband goes forth to his toils, not sparing himself that he may provide for his house. And God is pleased to bless his industry. And when we get up and go to work every morning, we need to ask the Lord to bless our work. Why am I going to work? You know, so many times in my life, I remember just getting up and going to work because I knew I was going to get paid for it. And that's really a rotten attitude to have. But when we go to work, we should ask the Lord to bless our industry. He eats the labor of his hands. Of course, in our time, very few of us grow our own food. We do another type of job. We get paid for it. We go to local grocery store and buy our food. But we're still, the fact that we have this food, it's a result of us working, or it should be. When the sun declines to the western sea, he intermits his toil and returns to enjoy the solace of a home made bright and musical with the presence and the voices of wife and children. And what a joy to have a stinking day at work. And a lot of them are stinking days. What a joy it is to go home. What a joy it is to go home to the solace of a home made bright and musical with the presence and the voices of wife and children. The domestic pieties run in a full stream, for they are fed from heaven. It is not a scene of mere earthly or secular enjoyment that the prophet delineates. Above this home, heaven is open and the angels of God ascend and descend. Never a day passes over the family, but they lift up their eyes to him that dwelleth in the heavens and wait on the Lord their God until that he have mercy upon them. So we go to work. We enjoy the labor of our hands. The Lord has blessed us. The Lord has blessed us with work. He's blessed us with the ability to do that work. And we're able to eat. And food is a blessing. It really is. It really is. Thou shalt be blessed, and it shall be well with thee. It is well with my soul. Thy wife shall be as the fruitful vine on the sides of thine house. Why a fruitful vine on the side of the house? Why is my wife as the fruitful vine on the sides of thine house? Some of the translations may read within the house. I have an older translation here. The Hebrew word literally means flank. So I can see where it was translated sides. Some of the newer translations translate it within. I don't know that it really matters that it's the sides of the house or within the house. But my wife is as the fruitful vine. Why a fruitful vine? It's better than kudzu. But why a fruitful vine? What do we think of when we think of a fruitful vine? It's beautiful. It's productive. It adorns the house. You know, we like nice flowers and plants around the house. Camellias, gardenias, azaleas. Thy wife shall be as the fruitful vine on the sides of thine house. A grapevine, maybe. A fruitful vine, one that bears fruit. You could say it's literally bearing fruit. The offspring. And it can be that, but I think it is a little more than just the bearing of children. And I think if you look at the next part of that verse, what are the children like? My wife is to be like a fruitful vine. What are the children to be like? If she's to be like a fruitful vine, it doesn't say they're to be like little bitty fruitful vines. We went from the metaphor of a fruitful vine to olive plants, olive shoots, olive sprigs round about thy table. So you got your kitchen table, you got your chairs. You could take these planting pots with little trees growing out of them and sit them in the chair, and that's literally the picture here. Your children are like the olive sprigs round about thy table. They're young. may not be producing any olives yet, but you know it's coming. You've got this little bitty plant, and I have to admit, little plants, when we go to pick something up to take back to the house, we hear those little plants weeping and moaning in the back of the vehicle because they know if they go to the Perry house, they're going to have a hard time surviving because we don't do too well with little plants. But you've got this little plant that's supposed to be a child. And you have, maybe out on another piece of your property, that little bitty sprig that has now matured into a nice olive tree. So you know you have these little plants that are going to become bigger plants. Children are a blessing. Children are a blessing. Thy wife shall be as the fruitful vine on the sides of thine house, and thy children like the olive plants round about thy table. So you have a fruitful vine, maybe a grapevine. You have little olive sprigs, grapes and olives. Those are two things that were offered at the feast. So you're going down the road, you're singing these songs of Zion, you're singing about your wife being like a grapevine and your children being like olive sprigs. And lo, you get to the feast, and these very things are part of the offerings that are being made in Zion. Makes you really think about giving your wife and your children to the Lord. An offering. So this person is blessed. Verse 4, lo, surely thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. Surely, not maybe. Not the Lord might bless you, but surely thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. The Lord out of Zion. And what was Zion to the children of Israel? Praise waits for thee in Zion. We sang that hymn. We're marching to Zion. What was Zion to the children of Israel? It's where the temple was. It's where God dwelt among men. The Lord out of Zion shall bless thee. Thou shalt see the wealth of Jerusalem. And what was the wealth of Jerusalem? What was the wealth, the true wealth of Jerusalem? The presence of the Lord. We look at some of our cities in 2023 and we go, you know, what's the wealth of that place? What's the wealth of that place? Is there a city in this country that we can say its wealth is the presence of the Lord? But the wealth of Jerusalem, the presence of the Lord, the presence of Jehovah was there. And that's where they were going, singing these songs, singing this song, Psalm 128. The wealth of Jerusalem, all the days of thy life, you will see. You will see the Lord at work. You will see the Lord high and lifted up in Zion. And you will be blessed. The Lord's blessing on his people. The Lord out of Zion. Verse 6. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. I've read this psalm hundreds and hundreds of times. And just within the last few weeks, has this verse become real? When Nathan was born, I was able to see my children's children. And I was able to hold that little man. And here in my arms was my DNA. It was my wife's DNA, my mom and dad's DNA, my grandparents' DNA, my wife's mom and dad, my wife's grandparents' DNA, Pastor Little's, Miss Colleen's DNA, Pastor Little's mom and dad, his grandparents, Colleen's mom and dad, her grandparents, all of this, their DNA, sitting right back there with his mama on the back pew. You shall see your children's children. And yes, I'm 66 years old, and that is now a reality for me. So if I were marching to Zion, singing this psalm, I would get real excited when I got to that last verse because it was now true. I had seen my children's children. Pastor Little, we're in trouble. Spurgeon said, men live their young lives over again in their grandchildren. Men live their young lives over again in their grandchildren. And what joy it is, what a blessing it is to see my children's children. So when we think about this psalm, how happy, how blessed we are as children of the Lord. And we have examples here of what those blessings entail when we fear the Lord and when we walk in His ways. And they sang about this on the way to Jerusalem. It was dear to them. They were happy. They were happy. And I'm a very guilty person because I'm not as happy as I ought to be. I'm not as happy as I need to be. I'm not as happy as I should be. And maybe that's because I don't look at the blessings that the Lord has given me like I should, and I don't sing about them. But they sang this song, the blessed, the happy man. The end of that verse, peace upon Israel. Peace upon God's people, His chosen generation. So you've got this domestic psalm talking about the blessings of the house, the blessings of your wife, your children, your children's children. Peace upon Israel. There was a song that came out in 1976 when I was at Auburn. And it was a very dear song to me then and has been a very dear song to me for 50 plus years. The song is called Happy Man. It was written by Pat Terry. And it makes you think about just how blessed we are, just how happy we are because we do have the blessings of the Lord. When I die, there won't be much to salvage from my earnings. I never had a lot of land or houses to my name. I've never been a corporate prince on Madison in New York. I've never held a diamond in my hand. But I've seen children laughing as only children can. And I've known my Creator, and I've been a happy man. I've never really loved the way I saw it in the movies, but I had myself a woman of my own. The place we lived was modest, and we kept the yard together. I never traveled far from my hometown. But I've heard music playing that made me understand and touched the hearts of heaven. And I've been a happy man. Life has had its hard times. When I felt the chill of winter, I can't forget the night when my sweet Julie slipped away. But growing old is different than I always thought it would be. The sweetness of my youth just grew with age. 'Cause I've known wealth and beauty beneath his guiding hand. And knowing soon I'll see him has made me a happy man. And knowing soon I'll see him has made me a happy man. Let's pray. Father, you bless us more than we could ever, ever imagine. Each breath is a tender gift from you. Help us, Father, to understand that those blessings come from your great love for your children, that you desire to bless us. Not in the way that the world thinks we should be blessed, but you bless us with your presence. You bless us with the gift of your Spirit that moves among us and stirs our hearts and our minds to dwell on you, to worship and adore you. You bless us with the gift of your Son, who saves us from our wretched selves and presents us to you as his brothers and sisters. Help us, O Father, to be grateful children as we should, and to know how happy we are to be because you own us. Amen.